So every week we have a whole host of volunteers who oversee and who volunteer and give their time and their talents and their energies to take care of these little ones. And so whenever we have a month with five Sundays in it, we just take some time to give them the day off so that everyone can join us in worship. So, hey, we are really glad that you are here this morning. If you're new with us, inside your bulletin, there's a handout sheet in there. There's some blanks that you can fill in if you like. We want you to have something to take home with so that you can interact with what we talked about this morning. And so that hopefully the message will continue to reverb throughout the week and maybe throughout a couple of weeks. Well, we are going to skip past Halloween, and we are going to skip past Thanksgiving, because we are going to look at what has already begun to invade the malls, what has already begun to invade some of the favorite stores that we go to, what has already begun to invade our emails with pop-ups of specials and all that kind of stuff, because the countdown has begun. It is 58 days till Christmas. Can you say woohoo? Anybody excited about that? That is 8 weeks and 1 day from today. So in 8 weeks, we are going to gather here for our regular 10:30 Sunday morning worship, and then we're going to come back again at 7 o'clock for a Christmas Eve candlelight service, and we hope that you can join us for that. But as I was thinking about what do we want to talk about this morning, I want to talk about some things that I think are so incredibly freeing. I want to talk about something that I believe that if we can get on God's plan for this, it literally will not only change our lives, but we will leave a legacy with our families that will change their lives and for generations to follow. But before we do that, I thought it'd be fun for us to just take a look at some of the sights that we have been seeing already. So check out some of these pictures. We got this week. Did anybody else get this? The catalog with the must toys from Toys R Them. You've gotten this right. Have you begun to peruse that to see exactly what toys you should be getting? I believe ours is already in the trash. So I'm not sure what you're doing with yours, but we've already seen ours. Next slide shows what we see at Home Depot. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. They're already there, but look what it's next to. This, I think, is from Michael's or Hobby Lobby. You see, like, they got their cool little fall, you know, Thanksgiving-ish things. And if you look around the border, you see it's All Holy Night. They are ready for Christmas. Actually, they've been ready for Christmas for, like, a month, right? A month. Yeah, I know. What? That's what we say. Or this next slide. Santa's already coming out of the ceiling at Target, I think it is. You know, he's getting ahead of things. And then I really like this next slide. You see what's going on here? Don't you just picture like all the Halloween and all these kids going, hey, what's up? This is our time. Why are you taking up our space? Well, you know, when we begin to think about Christmas, again, I want to talk with you this morning about what I think are some of the most incredibly freeing things that we can talk about. But I want to set the stage by talking about what holiday debt does to us. Holiday debt, in 2016, Americans with holiday debt added $1,003 on the average to the debt that they already had. In 2016, most people who went into debt didn't plan on it. They just bought too much. Or this next statistic. Most people spend months paying off their debt. Because if you get into this cycle of just paying the minimum payment, that adds years and mountainous amounts of interest that you have to pay to get these things paid off. Americans had $1.021 trillion in outstanding revolving credit in June of 2017. The average American family now owes somewhere around $8,000+ in credit card debt. But look what the Bible says about this. The borrower is a slave to the lender. When we have that kind of debt, we are literally enslaved to our creditors. We literally become different people. We live differently, we spend differently, we act differently. all because we are enslaved to this mountainous amount of debt that we have. And so this morning, I want to talk about something that I believe, number one, will help us get ready for Christmas. I want to help you get so ready for Christmas, and what hopefully will put you and me on the path towards financial freedom. And so this morning, we're going to talk about stewardship success, getting ready for Christmas. You're probably thinking, great, here I am already, the end of October, and we're just talking about money. But see, here's the deal. Money can be this slavery thing, or money can be this place where we find financial freedom. How we spend, how we save, how we manage the resources that have been entrusted to us, we can actually experience freedom and joy. So this morning, we're going to talk about what I see as four biblical principles for financial stewardship. For biblical stewardship. See, the Bible has a lot to say about money. Did you know, as a matter of fact, the Bible says more about money than it does heaven and hell combined? So what does that tell us? If the Bible talks more about money than heaven and hell combined, that tells us that God knows that this is going to be an issue for us. It wasn't just an issue for the people in the first century, but is it an issue for us as well? And so I want to talk this morning very quickly about what I think are four biblical principles of stewardship that I believe if we would really incorporate and understand what these principles are, we would experience totally different lives. We would begin to walk in freedom and joy like we've never experienced before. So what are these principles? Principle number one is called the principle of ownership. The principle of ownership. And what this says is that we see in places like Psalm 24:1 that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all its people belong to him. Or this passage from Genesis 1:28, from the very beginning, be fruitful and multiply, God says to Adam, fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. In other words, God says, I'm placing all of this in your care. Reign means to care for it, to steward it, to take care of it, to manage it. Or this passage from Deuteronomy 8:18, remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful. So when we think about this whole idea of biblical stewardship, the first principle is that we have to understand that it is all God's, that God owns everything. He is the owner. We are the managers acting on his behalf. So when we say, hey, that's my money, it's not really my money. That's my stuff. It's not really my stuff. It's my house. It's actually not our houses. All of that stuff belongs to God, and he says, hey, I'm going to let you take care of it. You manage it. That stewardship is an expression of our obedience. Stewardship is an expression of our obedience. At the top of your sheet, you will see that there was a quote there from Chris Brown. Chris Brown is a radio guy. He actually comes out of the Dave Ramsey organization. And he defines biblical stewardship as managing God's blessings, God's ways, for God's glory. It's the recognition that we are managers, we are administrators, we are caretakers of God's blessings, and we are called to manage those blessings in God's ways for God's glory. And so stewardship is a commitment of oneself and possessions to God. I think this is a huge hurdle for most of us, because I think we literally come out of the womb going, mine. Right? What's one of the first words your kids ever learned when they were 2 or 3 years old? Mine. Can you say that? Mine. And they say it, you're 3, you're 4, 21, 41. We do, don't we? So if we would begin to have literally a paradigm shift and begin to understand that all that we have is really God's, then we're going to take care of it. We're going to manage it differently. So if we want to manage God's blessings, God's ways for God's glory, we have to understand the principle of ownership. Principle number two is the principle of responsibility. So I do this thing, Troy Wingler also does it, and a couple of our other guys do it in the schools called All Pro Dad. It is an opportunity that we have, that we bring dads and kids in our elementary schools together to have breakfast once a month, and we talk about a character trait or character attribute where dads and kids talk together so that they can strengthen their relationships, but we're trying to build character into the kids. And our word this month was responsibility, recognizing that we are entrusted with things. And that's the principle of responsibility when it comes to stewardship. Bill Peel, in his book, Leadership is Stewardship, writes this. He says that although God gives us all things richly to enjoy, nothing is ours. Nothing really belongs to us. God owns everything. We're responsible for how we treat it and what we do with it. While we complain about our rights here on earth, the Bible constantly asks, what are your responsibilities? And here's the line. Owners have rights. Stewards have responsibilities. Owners have rights. Stewards have responsibilities. So God owns it, right? We are the managers of it. That means we have responsibility to do with it what God wants us to do with it. In Proverbs 3:9, it says, honor the Lord. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. It's been said that every spending decision is a spiritual decision. And so we are to honor God with our wealth. In Leviticus 27:30, we're told that 1/10 of the produce of the land, whether grain from the fields or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord and must be set apart for him as holy. You see, way long, long, long time ago, God wanted his people to understand this idea of responsibility, this idea of ownership. And so God established this thing called the tithe. And it began in this agricultural-centered world by bringing the first fruits, 10% of whatever the land produced, and to offer that at the temple as an offering to God. Again, recognizing where is God in our lives? He should be first, so we honor him with the first fruits of the land. Now, we are not an agrarian society anymore. So as we move through the years to by the time we get to 2017, we understand that it's 10% of what we make right off the top. And it is so intriguing. This idea of tithing is so intriguing that we see God literally throw down the gauntlet in the book of Malachi with a test. It is like the one place that we see God literally going, hey, try me on this one. Literally. God says, put me to the test. Look what it says. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. That was the church, the temple. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Look what he says. Try it. Put me to the test. Now, I responded to that when I was in my 30s. And I thought, you know what? If God says put me to the test, and if I believe that God's word is true, and I believe that God promises on what he delivers, then I put God to the test. I'm like, all right, I'm going to walk in this obedience, and I'm going to just try this. I'm going to begin tithing. I never did this until my 30s. And you know what? I've never stopped doing it. As a matter of fact, the amazing thing is my wife and I, we have been able to every year increase our ability to partner with God, to be a part of what God is doing by giving more and more, by recognizing that God has given us this incredible responsibility to partner with him, to literally change our world. You see, the Bible makes a distinction between tithes and offerings. The tithe was the first 10% right off the top, And the offerings were the monies that you get to give above and beyond what you give as a tithe. And I can tell you from personal testimony, mine, as well as being pastoring now for more than 20 years, when we begin to walk in that kind of trust and that kind of obedience, saying, okay, God, you own it, I'm managing it, and I'm gonna seek to walk and live in obedience with you, and I'm gonna trust that you will provide everything that I need according to your riches, you know what? It worked. And it continues to work. Now, do I have everything I want? Hey, I came out of the womb going, mine too. But the reality is, I see things differently. And when we begin to understand that God's the owner, we're the managers, when we begin to take responsibility for the resources that God has entrusted to us, you know, it's said that you have not because you ask not. I think often for us, we have not because we're not walking in obedience to God. And that stretches out in so many different areas of our lives. Here where it says, where God says, you know, I will open the floodgates of heaven and you will be blessed over running. That doesn't mean that God's going to give you all the money that you want. It said blessings, that God is going to give you blessings. Do you know there are things that we don't have because we're not walking in obedience? Do you know there's stuff that we pray for all the time that God doesn't give to us because we're not walking in obedience? This has been a big word for me in 2017. I've been asking more and more and more and more, God, would you just help me to walk in obedience to you? Whatever you say to do, God, I want to do it because you're my God and I'm yours and I trust you. And so when we give back to God in the form of tithes and offerings, those things work together in this synergistic way that literally God opens the floodgates of heaven, and we have everything that we need. So when we look at what biblical stewardship is, managing God's things, God's ways for his glory, we have to recognize principle number one, the idea of ownership. Principle number two, the idea of responsibility. Principle number three is the principle of accountability. Now, accountability is not a word that we like in our culture. As a matter of fact, I think we push back against it. Because many of us don't like to be called to account on anything, do we? We see that sometimes in performance appraisals, right? Gosh, do you just like hate it when that time of the year comes around and your boss says, all right, it's time for performance appraisals, and they package it like, hey, it's gonna be so good. Is it really ever? Not so much, right? Because none of us really like being held accountable. But look and see what it says in the Bible about accountability. In Hebrews 4:3, it says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable. 1 Corinthians 4:2, a person who is put in charge as a manager must be faithful. We are going to be held accountable by God for how we steward or how we care for the resources that he has placed. That biblical stewardship, really biblical stewardship is a whole person response to the gospel. It is our whole person response to the gospel. And let's like really understand this. We can't compartmentalize it. I think we're really good at that. We're like, okay, I can be a steward in this area of my life, but I can't be a steward in that area of my life. I'll be a steward in this area of my life, but I'm not going to be a steward in this other area of my life. God calls us to be good stewards of all that he has placed in our care. Things like our time, our abilities and gifts. God wants us to use those gifts and abilities that he has given for his glory. He wants us to be good stewards of wisdom, of the knowledge that he has given us. He wants us to be good stewards of our authority, good stewards of leadership. Andy Stanley says that stewardship is leadership, and we will be held accountable. Stewardship is in our relationships. Are we literally caring for our relationships appropriately? Biblical stewardship is how we care for money. In 2017, and this is changing more and more every day, it's about information. Because literally everything is at our fingertips now. And we are called by God to be accountable for what we know, for the information that we have. And so biblical stewardship includes accountability as well as responsibility and ownership. Principle number four. This is called the principle of rewards. We probably all like this one because we like rewards, right? You got them on your credit cards, right? Yeah, we buy a lot because we're going to earn those points. Because then we can use those points. But you know what they don't tell you is people who pay with credit cards on the average spend a whole lot more than people who don't use them. If you pay by cash in the store, you spend less. If you walk into the store with an envelope saying, I have $30 for groceries, you will spend no more than $30 for groceries. If you have an envelope that says, this is how much money that I'm going to spend on gifts, when you go to the store and you see the ticket and you're like, I don't have enough money for that, I'm not going to buy that. And so there's this idea that we got to figure out what to do with this. And the biblical idea of reward says, work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord other than people. Because you know what? We are working for the Lord. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. We see in other places that Jesus says you can't serve two masters. And he wants to be the solo master in our life. In Matthew 25, 21, it says, well done, my good and faithful servant. This was around this that Jesus taught some lessons, some parables that we call the parable of the talents, of how well did people take care of the talents that God had placed in their care. And for the ones who took care of it really well, he says, well done, my good and faithful servant, because you have been faithful. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Do you see where it says celebrate? This is not a downer. Sometimes when I talk about money, and you know, we don't do that very often here, but especially I think as we are getting ready to move towards the Christmas season, I think this is an area that we need to talk about, that we need to be responsible with, that we need to be accountable for, because so many of us set ourselves up for New Year's resolutions that we're never gonna keep, right? Of how am I not going to spend less, and you know, I'm going to pay this off, and I'm going to do this. What if we went into New Year's already like prayed up and lived up, so that there would be certain resolutions we don't even need to like put on there? Why set ourselves up, right? So well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling the small amounts. Now I will give you many more responsibility. Let's celebrate together. The idea is this, that biblical stewardship connects everything we do with what God is doing in the world. How we take care of and manage the resources that are put into our care, biblical stewardship, that connects us with everything we do with what God is doing in our world. So you want to be in this place of like walking more in sync with the Spirit of God to see where God is moving and what God is doing. We sang that, right? God is on the move, on the move, on the move. Don't you want to ride that wave? It's more fun to ride a wave than to get crashed by it, isn't it? And I believe that when we begin to ride the waves of the things that God has set into motion, that we begin to experience life at its most abundant. And God wants us to have an abundant life. Jesus said, I have come, I gave my life for you, I rose from the dead for you, because I want you to have an abundant life. You have this thief, this devil who comes to rob and to kill and to destroy you. But Jesus says, I have come so that you might have life, have it abundantly. How many of us are missing out on an abundance that God has for us because we are not managing God's things, God's way for his glory? I think a whole bunch of us. And so how can we have a stress-free Christmas? How can stewardship success move us in towards having a more abundant Christmas? In 2 Corinthians 9:7, the Apostle Paul says, you must each decide in your heart how much to give. Actually, if I would apply that today, I would also say how much to give and how much to spend. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Actually, a more literal translation of that is that God loves a person who gives hilariously. Have you ever seen a hilarious giver? Like, literally, they're that person that you work with or that you know that if someone's doing a walkathon, they're going to give you some money. If somebody's doing this, they're going to give you some money. Mine's not a lot, but it's just somebody who just lives in this place that they get to be a part of what you're doing. I can tell you from personal experience, that is a great place to be. See, we budget for that in our household. My wife does the Excel color-coded spreadsheet budget. She is like so good at that. And so we budget this kind of stuff so that when people come up to us and say, hey, I'm doing this ministry, or hey, I'm doing this, or our school is doing that, can you help? And it is so fun to be able to go, hey, I can help with that. Hey, I can. And I'm not gonna set myself up for failure, but I just get to do that. So there's success that we have in Christmas. And so when it comes to giving and spending, three things I want to point out to you. Number one, stewardship is a reminder of where God is in our lives. Again, if we go back to this idea that Chris Brown says that stewardship is managing God's blessings, God's ways for God's glory, if we are biblical stewards of the resources that God has placed in our hand, then stewardship is a reminder of where God is in our life. Like, where is he? Do we really say, like, God, you're the most important thing in my life? When we come to faith in Jesus, do we really say, not my will, but yours be done? Do we really position ourselves in this place that says, okay, God, you're the top, and everything comes below that? See, I believe when we do that, I believe when we remind ourselves of where God is in our lives, that literally has this rundown effect in every decision that we make. So when we can begin to walk in this place of managing God's resources, God's ways for his glory, it reminds us of who God is in our lives. But it also is our response to the generosity of God. Biblical stewardship, managing God's resources for God's ways for his glory, that is a response that we make, saying, God, you have done this for me. You came and you lived and you died and you rose from the dead and you created a way for me to go to heaven. You created a way for me to have an abundant life here on earth. You gave me your spirit, so I know that you are always with me. I have the opportunity to live responsively to the relationship that I have with you, God. And biblical stewardship literally puts a seal on that, that says, yes, I believe what the Bible says is true. And I'm gonna attempt to walk in this relationship with God just out of the response that I have with God. So my wife and I, this in November, we will have been married 12 years. I had to make sure of the year. By the way, please pray for my wife. She's home sick. She was throwing up last night. So it's just crazy in our house. But one of the things that I want to do as a husband and as a dad is that I want to live in response to the beautiful gift that God has given me in my wife. And that means that there's things I'm going to do and there's things I'm not going to do. There's choices I'm going to make, and there's choices I'm not going to make. Just because I want to glorify and I want to honor her. I want to live in this responsive relationship that I have with my wife. And I believe that that extends first and foremost towards God. Is that when we live and when we position ourselves to say, God, I want my life to be lived this way and this way with you in response to who you are and all you have done in my life, we will lead different lives. We will have different priorities. We will have different passions. We will make different kinds of decisions. We will do things. We will not do things. And that will all be done to give God the glory. So when it comes to giving and spending, stewardship is a reminder of where God is in our lives. It is a response to the generosity of God. And by setting and living in a budget, allows us to prioritize being faithful stewards of all that God has blessed us with. There's a word that we see in Scripture over and over and over again, and that word is faithful. It says that God is faithful. I don't even know how many times it says that in the Old Testament. Greg, can I pick your brain real fast? Do you know? He's like, don't know. A whole bunch. It is like over and over again. It says God is faithful. And that message continues throughout the New Testament. That God is faithful. And so the question is, are we? Do we prioritize the things of God in our lives? And do we make him number one in our life? So let's come back to the very beginning of where we started this morning when we talk about biblical stewardship. That biblical stewardship is managing God's blessings, God's ways, for God's glory. In other words, biblical stewardship is a whole person response to our relationship with God. Get that idea? Whole person, not compartmentalized, not differentiated out, not segmented out, but a whole person response to our relationship with God. And so the question that I have for you, 58 days out, 8 weeks and one day, is this. How will you spend your Christmas? How will you spend your Christmas? Will you spend your Christmas as a faithful steward, recognizing the principle of ownership, that God owns it, the principles of responsibility, that God charges us to take care of it, the principle of accountability, that God will hold us accountable for what we do with what he has blessed us with, and the principle of rewards, that God will bless us based on our obedience. Now, that last one, the Bible doesn't tell us what that looks like, which is probably a good thing. It just tells us that we will be rewarded and that there will be a blessing. And so here's my encouragement to you, is that I believe when we begin to manage things, manage God's things, God's way for his glory, we will become different people. And when we become different people, money will no longer be a thing that aggravates us or agitates us. It will no longer be the thing that when you come into a church and maybe you are here for the first time and you're like, oh, that's all I ever hear every time I've ever been in church. But the reality is I haven't talked about money like in a couple years. Is that when we begin to do that, y'all, we begin to walk in this freedom like we've never experienced. Because God wants his best for ours. God wants his best for us. So if God wants his best for us, doesn't it make sense that we would want it too? So how will you spend your Christmas this year? Will you begin walking in the way that leads to faithfulness and obedience? Maybe it's a new step for you. Maybe you've never really given before. Maybe it's a deeper step for you. Maybe saying, okay, God, I'm going to trust you for more. Because, you know, trust really for us human beings, it is kind of one of those things that has to build, doesn't it, right? Like we got to see the evidence. We got to see that God's going to kind of do those things just like other relationships. So what would happen if we'd say, hey, I'm going to ratchet it up a little bit to see how God wants to respond? Because he says, test me on it. Or for maybe some of us who are, man, we're at this like pretty cool place. Maybe even for us, God is saying, you ain't seen nothing yet. So how will you spend your Christmas this year? My prayer for you and for me is that 58 days out, today, we'll begin to see how we take care of and how we manage God's resources and do it God's ways for His glory. Let's pray.